This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Hy is groot in stof en reën. Ons het baie stof hier en ook 'n bietjie reën plek, maar dit is nog steeds 'n bietjie stofferig. Daar's dalk nou nie stof waar Prof Dion is nie, maar daar's baie koue. Professor Dion Foster, let's go and see what's going on with him all the way out there in Amsterdam. He's a theologian and the university research chair at the Vrije Universiteit in Amsterdam. How's it going, Dion? Always lekker to hang out on a Thursday morning.
Brad. Mm-hmm. Ja, Afrikaans is bijna zo goed als mijn Nederlands, hoor.
Oh, dankjewel.
No, we don't have a lot of dust here. So thankfully, with those incredible snow drifts that we had last week have now cleared.
Okay.
And we're back to regular winter programming, rain and a little bit of cold. But yesterday was the most beautiful sunny day.
Yeah.
And it went up to a balmy 7 degrees. Oh. We thought we were losing our minds.
T-shirts were coming out. Can you imagine?
I actually did see a young guy. We have a hockey field just near our house, about 2 blocks away. I saw a young guy cycling in shorts and a t-shirt off to go and play hockey. Can you believe it?
You know, they make them rough and tough, even on that side of the equator. There you go. That sounds like a lot of fun, actually, getting out and about. Because otherwise, I think if it's cold the whole time and you stay inside, that's going to drive you half cuckoo as well. So who wants to go mad sitting at home in the cold and getting cabin fever? Now, I keep talking about the wedding feast in Canaan. I don't know why my brain thinks it's in Canaan, but it isn't in Canaan. It's in Cana. That's where it was. And I'm curious because I love the story, Dion, and I'd love to know where you're going to be digging around in it this morning as we talk around Jesus' very first miracle. I guess this is where mom says, just listen to what he says and he'll show you what to do.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Brad, just to say, Cana is a small village in Galilee, which was about 7 kilometers northeast of Nazareth, so it wasn't far from Jesus' home. Mm-hmm. You know, Jesus of Nazareth. So this was probably sort of a family friend of Jesus and his family who was getting married, and they were invited to the feast. Now, just to say, what's got me thinking about this is that this reading, John 2, 1 to 11, for those of our readers who want to go, our listeners who want to go and read it, was the lectionary, the set reading for devotions on Monday. Mm-hmm. And as I was reading it, you know, I thought, my goodness, isn't it incredible that the God of the universe, the one who was there before all time, would be there after all time ends, the one who has the most important task in all of history to save humanity and all of non-human creation, chooses to show up at a wedding feast. How cool is that?
That is cool.
And Brad, of course, as you said, this is the first recorded miracle, or what John calls Semeia sign, in John's gospel that Jesus performs. And what struck me again about this, you know, it's just this, the ordinariness of this. You know, it's not in a temple, it's not in a synagogue, it doesn't happen during a sermon, but it happens at the wedding feast. A young couple, probably a little bit younger than Jesus at that stage, you know, young people very often got married at the age where the young woman became fertile. So maybe they were 13, 14 years old at that stage. And there they are at their wedding feast. And these were really community gatherings, you know. So they involved the whole of the community. Now, those of us who've lived in townships will know what this looks like. For those who've never lived in a township, you know, these kinds of gatherings are absolutely incredible. I mean, the whole community gets involved. People are in the streets. Everybody brings and contributes something. People are coming and going throughout the day, and it really becomes a sort of a highlight. Now, in the ancient Near East, a wedding feast could last several days, and there was music and food and laughter, and it really was a very, very important sign of hospitality. Now, Brad, the reason I'm saying this is because for us as modern readers, perhaps we don't realize how catastrophic it was, how embarrassing it was that they ran out of wine. Now, if we think about this in the importance of that event in the community, for them to run out of wine was an incredibly serious social failure. So in this culture of honor and shame, it could possibly mean shame for the family, leaving them with a sort of lasting damage to their reputation. And it normally, the commentators say, it was a sign of one or of two things, either a sign of poverty. So in mm-hmm. other words, they couldn't quite afford to adequately prepare the feast for so many people, and they would be shamed by publicly having to show this. Or it could be a sign of poor planning, which again would be, you know, something we didn't take the people who were coming seriously enough. We didn't plan for everyone, so we ran out of wine. Now, what really strikes me in this is, of course, there Mary is. She's attentive, the mother of Jesus, and she takes it to Jesus, and she does it in a sort of, you know, nonchalant manner. There's no panic there. There's just absolute trust. She goes to him and says, "Son, they have no more wine." And Jesus says, "Oh, my goodness, you know, why are you involving me in this? I'm not yet ready to go public with my ministry." And as a mother, she simply says to the servants, "Listen, he can sort this out. Do whatever he tells you to do." So this for me was a wonderful thing. Mm. Brad, again, yeah. we stick with this theme of the ordinary. So what strikes me about this miracle is it's not flashy. I don't know if you noticed that. There are no lights, no thunder.
Yeah.
There's no public announcement. There's no spectacle. In fact, almost nobody notices except the servants who drew the water. Jesus tells them, fill these stone water jars. I think they were about 80 liters or so to the brim. And the water gets turned into wine. So this is my last thing that I want to say. For the miracle to happen, a couple of things were necessary. First of all, people had to be obedient. Mm. And that's important, I think, for us in our ordinary lives, where Jesus wants to show up and do miracles today in this year. You know, a little bit of work had to be done. The second thing was that it was the ordinary people at the wedding, not the high priest, you know, not the people who were expected. It was the servants who made the miracle happen. And sometimes I've seen this in workplaces, in communities. It's the ordinary people who make the miracles happen. When God speaks to them and they do their ordinary thing, you know, their job was to fill the jars with water. When they do that, God adds something extraordinary. And that's the last thing I want to say, Brad. Isn't it remarkable that God takes something so ordinary, so common, water, and he turns it into something beautiful, wine. Mm. And I was just left this week by saying, "Lord, am I attentive enough to hear you saying to me, Dion, I want you to do something ordinary for me. I want you to do it in a place that's not exceptional. And I want you to take an ordinary thing. Perhaps it's a meeting, perhaps a family engagement, perhaps it's a task that you do all the time. And I want to turn that into a miracle." So, Brad, I think the lesson that I'm left with this week is to say Jesus shows up, excuse me, and he shows up at joyous events and sometimes also at embarrassing and disappointing events, but he's always there to make things better and he wants our help.
Oh, I love that. Thanks, Dion. Sometimes we see this miracle maybe a little bit wrongly, or we... you know, there's many jokes and party references and all that kind of stuff around this, but I love that, just the fact of being obedient. And we've been reading this morning here on the show out of, from all of all places, we've been in Jeremiah 18 and we've been in Ephesians 4, just talking about having not a hardened heart, but having one where we want to do the right thing, and that starts with being obedient. Thanks for your message this morning. Thanks for dropping this in with us. We love hanging out with you. And we wish you well. May you feel warm inside with all of our love and well wishes from South Africa side to you.
Thanks, Brad, and blessings for the day. And if you can, WhatsApp me a ray of sunshine.
I might do that. Thanks, Dion.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.